welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
So we'll start by saying that was a joke. I sense that the presence of God is here tonight. Lord, I pray that we respond to you. I pray that we don't just get stuck in what Sunday should look like. Instead, that we let our hearts, our bodies, our minds, everything we are, respond to you. In Jesus' name. So the founder of the Vineyard tells an interesting story in one of his books. A guy was walking home, and he found a homeless guy who looked very beat and hungry, and he was moved by compassion, and he was a little angry. So the Vineyard started out in Southern California. Right now, homelessness is a big problem there. But then it wasn't so rampant. So he was angry that just seeing this guy as he was. So he took the risk, took this guy home, had him clean up, had him dressed better, had him fed, gave him a place to lay his head. And when the day came to go to church, he went with him. And after the celebration, he behaved himself. He just, he let his anger calm for a while. And after the celebration or the service, he went straight for John Wimber and said, "What is the church doing? I picked this guy, took him home. He was homeless. He was beat. He was hungry. He wasn't well dressed. I took him home. I fed him. I gave him a place to sleep. What is the church doing?" And John Wimber looked at him and said, "Well, the church is on the street, picking up homeless people, taking them home, dressing them, feeding them, and giving them a place to sleep." The man had allowed himself to join in the family business, the business of our Father, the business of compassion. Why don't we pray as we start? Since morning, we've been praying, and I just, there's this sense of, I don't even know what to call it. So just in case I fall, I don't have much strength, and it's not because I haven't been feeling well, but this was a great morning. But then we started worship, and I'm just feeling, good Lord, it's an amazing morning. So I was going to pray, sorry. So Lord, you are here and we are here with you. And Father, I pray that the sense of your Spirit just fills each one of us. That the weight of your glory, a weight that we cannot contain, a weight that we cannot stand on our own before you. This is a sense that, Lord, we're reminded that before you we cannot stand on our own. You are the one in whom we stand, Jesus. Because of what you did on the cross for us, we can stand before our Father. Because of your love for us, we are welcome home, and we can celebrate with you. So, Lord, come and speak to us, and let your Holy Spirit just do things only he can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here at Trinity, we believe that Jesus is the hope for the world. And we don't just think he was a man in history. We actually think, we believe that Jesus was God revealed to us. So if you ever want to know what God feels about something, you look at Jesus. If you ever want to know how God would respond to something, you look at Jesus. And he said as much one day, because he had been talking about going to the Father a lot, and he had already indicated that he's about to be crucified, and we're just about to get into the season of Lent, where we'll be reflecting on that. One of his disciples said to him, "Okay, just show us the Father already. Just show us the Father." And Jesus looked at Philip so compassionately and said, "You have seen it. Whenever you see me, you've seen the Father." And he described what he did as doing only what he sees the Father doing. He described what he said as saying only what he heard the Father saying. He described his work here as being part of his Father's business. It was part of the family business for him. Compassion. One of his friends writes about his life and keeps saying, Jesus was moved by compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion. For Jesus, this is the Father's business. That the only reason he came, the only reason God is revealed to us through Jesus, is because God was moved by compassion. And that is what the church is called into. That is what those of us who represent Jesus, those of us who are Jesus to this world, are called to do every day, to have compassion on this world, to step into the family business and keep having compassion, allowing our hearts to be moved by compassion. And here's the thing, the church is God's plan to heal the world. There is no other plan B. The church is God's plan to heal the world. So when we see the sinner, when we see the weak, when we see the lonely, the unemployed, the grieving, those who cannot go to school because they couldn't afford it, those who couldn't afford healthcare, those who cannot afford a meal, those who are rejected by our city, the church is God's plan to heal them. We are called to join in our Father's business. Trinity Vineyard has been called to join in our Father's business. So today I want us to hear another story from the life of Jesus. And I invite you again to read with me. I've often said that the power is in the Word of God. Even if we forget everything I have said, I really believe that there is something in God's Word. And I don't even know how it works sometimes, but I'm just going to trust that. So I keep inviting us. Let's just read the Word of God together. Is that okay? Matthew 14, 13 to 21. When Jesus learned what had happened, he got on a boat and went away to spend some time alone. Oh, okay. Oh, could we read together? Yes. I thought it was my slides guy. Let's start. When Jesus learned what had happened, he got on a boat and went away to spend some time in a private place. The crowds, of course, followed Jesus on foot from their cities. Though Jesus wanted solitude, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick and the lame. And evening time, Jesus' disciples came to him. Disciples, we are in a fairly remote place, and it's getting late. The crowds will get hungry for supper. Send them away so that they have time to get back to their villages and get something to eat. Jesus, they do not need to go back to their villages in order to eat supper. Give them something to eat here. Disciples, but we don't have enough food. We only have 5 rounds of flatbread and 2 fish. Jesus said to them, bring the bread and the fish to me. So the disciples brought him the 5 rounds of flatbread and the 2 fish, and Jesus told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the bread and the fish. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks, and he broke the bread. Jesus gave the bread to the disciples, and the disciples gave the bread to the people. Everyone ate and was satisfied. When everyone had eaten, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of and broken pieces of bread and crumbs. There were 5,000 men there, not to mention all the women and the children. Okay, so we're getting into the middle of a story. So Jesus wanted to be alone. He wanted some solitude. This is why. So one of Jesus' relatives was called John, and he was baptizing people. John had been arrested by the king, and he had just been murdered. And this news has just gotten to Jesus. So Jesus has lost a family member. He is grieving. He's in pain. His soul just needs some time away. He doesn't want to be around people at this time. Not only that, Jesus knows what's coming for him. It wasn't just that a family member had died. He knew that this is exactly what they would do to him. Because he knew that John had actually said he was greater than him. So if they do that to John, imagine what they would do to Jesus. So there's a lot of weight on the soul of Jesus. This is when he just wants time alone. This is similar to when you just want time alone. This is similar to when you saved up just for your most coveted home theater system. You have a little bit of money and now you just want to spend it on your own. You have a little bit of time and now you just want to go on holiday. It's me time. Jesus was in such a place. A bit more weightier because there was grief involved. And then he sees people and his heart is moved by compassion. It's not convenient. It's not convenient at all. He sees people and he sees the love the Father has for them and he moves to action. He knows he wanted to spend time alone. He knows he needed solitude, yet he would not let his heart be moved by compassion. So he heals the sick. He heals the lame. Then the disciples come to him and go, okay, these guys need to go eat. Right? The disciples have just noticed a need that is right in front of them. You know, they're done with all the spiritual stuff. They've taught, that's why the people came. They've healed, that's why the people came. Now let them go do the physical stuff, right? Let them go sort themselves. I don't think the disciples ever imagined that they would get into the food distribution business. It's not a spiritual thing, is it? Why should they feed them? They've done all the other important stuff, haven't they? You know, they're like some of us who've moved very well from the place of, oh, I will pray for you, to actually praying for people. You know, there are people who just say, oh, I'll pray for you, and they never do. It's a way of getting rid of you. But then these guys have moved from I will pray for you to actually praying for people and watching them. So sometimes if you've gone for prayer or to our prayer teams, they sometimes just look at you because they're watching like, oh, God could be doing anything, so we're very expectant. So I guess the disciples had moved to that point. So they pray for people and they watch and they're waiting. They say they pray for you and they call you tomorrow. Hey, did you get that job? Hey, are you feeling better? Hey, is your relationship restored? They've moved from just saying they will pray for people. But they never thought that compassion to the world includes meeting physical felt needs. They just thought, okay, we've done the important stuff. We've done the kingdom stuff. Now send them away. But Jesus says, no, you feed them. This is part of the Father's business. This is part of the Father's business. 2 years ago, a hurricane hit Texas, and the church that planted us out is in Texas, and some of the members there were affected, and so I was moved, and I shared it with our team, and we felt, oh, what do we do? Because this church is part of our story to this day. They not only called to check up on me and therefore us. Somebody asked me, when I say we, who are you talking about? Why did I talk about you? Anyway, so they call to check up on you guys. They call to check up on me. And sometimes, from time to time, they send us gifts. And oftentimes, usually just when we needed it. And so we were in this place of, what do we do? What do we do? And a friend of mine, Melody Mosley, who was senior pastor of this church alongside Adam, said to me, because I was sharing with her, she said, sometimes it's not important to call. It's okay to call and say, our prayers and thoughts are with you. Yet it matters more to send a financial gift, because these people will be picking up their lives again. They will have to rebuild. And usually money flows in the other way. It's always from the West to our country. But what would it mean for us to say, we actually are with this church? So I invited you guys in, and you gave very generously. And we did the reverse, which was strange for some people. But it meant a lot. It meant a lot. Because it's not enough to do the spiritual things of, well, it's not enough to do the things people have always thought are the only spiritual things of, oh, I prayed for you. How are things going? Sometimes it costs us a bit more. So Jesus looks at them and says, don't send them away. You feed them. This is the Father's business. Every time we meet people's felt needs, we are responding in compassion to this world. I remember being asked 2 months after I took on leadership at this church, why do you guys just keep talking about love? And that wasn't a proper characterization of the church. But that's what this person felt. And when are you guys going to talk about spiritual gifts? When are you guys going to talk about tongues? Which I think we do. But, you know, I just realized it's easier to talk about things that the Holy Spirit just does. It's harder to talk about things that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, get up and do this with me. It's harder to talk about how you're treating your wife, how you're treating your neighbor. It's easy to just talk about, oh, so how do you express worship? Lift up your hands, kneel down. That's the easy stuff. Why? Because God loves his people. His presence always comes down. That's the easy part. He loves us so much, he is always here. The harder part is, how do we respond? How do we join him? How do we show compassion to the sinner, to the broken, to the orphaned, to the unemployed, to those rejected in our city? And especially when it's not convenient. And so I saw this meme last week. Someone is kneeling down because they've journeyed with Jesus to a point that they actually agree that they need to show compassion to the world. And so he's kneeling down and saying, God, show me who to love. Show me who to love. And there are just people around him, broken and in need. They're right there, aren't they? So I'm excited that the disciples could see. They opened their eyes. It's a common prayer around the charismatic church is, open our spiritual eyes, and that's good. But the disciples just needed to open their eyes and see so many people very hungry. So sometimes these eyes are as spiritual as they get. And we just need to open them. And you know, we live in times where it's easier to show compassion on Facebook. Just share it. Oh, how sad. And if you're a proud admin of several WhatsApp groups, just share them and tell them, please share with 10 people or this will not happen to you. So woe unto you if you slept after sharing only 9. You know? And it's great. I think some things need to be told out to the world. Let's sign this petition so that it's sent to the UN and to the White House and to all these G7. Let's sign it online. Quite convenient. You don't even have to wake up. I showed compassion today. I signed several petitions. You know? The online culture has made us only opt for compassion when it is convenient. Then when you run out of charge, well, it's not your fault. Apple needs to make better batteries. The other challenge is it blinds us and even gets us a bit fatigued. Because right now we know what's happening in Syria. And I think we need to know that. Right now we know what's happening everywhere else in the world. And it feels like, you know, we started this talk by saying there's something wrong in the world. And you open your social media and it feels like there's something wrong with the world everywhere, every time. There's nothing I can do. That's the other problem with the online culture. You're made to feel like you have to care about everything. Around the time that the Texas hurricane happened, a friend of mine shared his displeasure with how the world was only talking about Texas and not talking about the floods in the Middle East. And I am not saying that he was posting it towards me, but it was conveniently after I had just shared. No, I didn't, you know, could have been anything. But, well, maybe that was just the last nail in the coffin. And I get his point. Media is skewed. I get his point. Yet, at the same time, I realize I cannot care about everything. But that is no excuse to care about nothing. So open your eyes. Open your eyes. If some of this spiritual stuff sounds so mysterious for you, and people around you keep saying, oh, my spiritual eyes were open, just don't worry about that. You just open yours. Who is around you? Who is around you? Who in this city, who in your own household needs compassion? Because that is what God is calling you to. You know? Who around you needs to be fed? Who is unemployed in your own home and you need to respond to that? Who is grieving and needs your comfort? It's inconvenient. Who is lost and God needs you to show Jesus to? Who needs an extra, who needs footwear and you just bought your and one? Just open your eyes. You know? It's easier. And it's easier to show compassion afar. And get me right, I think that's important. We were sent to hear near and far. I however think it's always easier to show compassion far away, because they don't know you. You know, it's easier to, when the group admin of the WhatsApp shares something from County A that is miles away with an M-Pesa till number, it's easier to send to that than when your own brother calls and says, hey, I need your help. Paul actually says something very interesting, that if you are not actually responding to your own immediate family, you're worse than a non-believer. It's often easier for believers to just somebody walks up to them on the streets and like, oh, yes, sure. Your brother calls, well, you know them too well. Your sister calls, well, does she really need compassion? She messed up her last job. That was her fault. These people are here and they know it's evening. We like Jesus, yeah, but come on, I would have been gone home by now. That's probably some of what the disciples are thinking. So they're probably saying, okay, if they won't do it, Jesus better send them away. It's easier to just compassion away. But how about right here? How about right here? So the disciples see the hungry people right in front of them. And they know for sure that something needs to be done. 5,000 men. So let's say maybe 20,000 people. Because here's the interesting thing. For a long time, there have always been at least 2/3 more women and children than men around spiritual stuff. Even in this church, there's probably more women than men. But it's okay, men. I know you listen to the podcast. So it's not convenient. What are they getting themselves into? So when Jesus says to them, no, you feed them, they're looking at, what are we going to get ourselves into? 5,000 men? Which is easier, send them away and maybe only 10 or 5 won't have anything at home, right? Than try to feed all of them. Let's just send them away. You know? Yet the resources that we need to show compassion to this world are already in our hands. And for a moment, I want to speak to our culture here in Kenya. It's easy. It's easy to just say, well, maybe there's an NGO that will come through. It's easy. I find it interesting that our churches would buy cars for their pastors. None of you have suggested that yet. Anyway. That will be expunged from the records. I find it interesting. Our churches would buy cars for their pastors, but they let the hungry unfed. I find it interesting, and not in a good way. It's wrong. It's wrong. And then we celebrate, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, we celebrate everyone else who comes from a different part of the world and says, hey, what can we do? Like, oh, wow, wow, look at them. Oh, aren't they doing a great job? What do you mean? They're just joining the Father in the business of compassion, and we can too. And we should too. It is our calling. The resources we need to partner with God in showing compassion to the world around us are already in our hands. And we really don't know what we're getting ourselves into. Because some of the questions I hear is, what if they take advantage of us? Well, they will. Just like we often take advantage of Jesus. What if they take the filter we gave them and they sell it? Well, they might. What if they take the bag of food and hide it and come back for another? Well, they often do. What if I give them a job and they are ungrateful? Welcome to the world. What really are we getting ourselves into? We have no idea. What we do know is that the heart of God is compassion. The heart of our Father is compassion. The business of our Father is compassion. And we are called for the family business. That's all we know. So they're looking at 5,000 people. It could be a riot if they don't have enough. So where do we start? Where do you start? Open your eyes and look at the one thing that you wish to walk up towards me at the end of this celebration and say, Pastor, what is the church doing about this? What is that one thing that drives you crazy? Pastor, what are you doing about this? Or for those who don't give much credit to the church, what is the one thing you're going, Pastor, the government should do something about this. Do you know the governor? I don't. What's that thing that just breaks your heart? Start there. You may not care about everything, but there is something of God's heart in you that breaks every time you see a particular thing, and that is where God is inviting you to start. He's saying, open your eyes and see 5,000 men, 20,000 women and children who need to be fed. And God is already putting in your hands what you need to do, what you need in order to respond. And here's how you'll identify what you have to respond with. It's what you actually have thought is yours. So this young boy came with lunch knowing that it is his. So you worked hard through the month and you got a paycheck knowing that it is yours. Your parents worked hard and you got an inheritance and now you know it is yours. That could be part of what God is saying. This is what you will use to respond in compassion to the world. Compassion is not convenient. We can't decide to do it only when it's convenient. It will show up in our bank statements. It will show up in our M-Pesa statements. It will show up in our balance sheets. If it's not showing up in those places, then it's only convenience for us. If we're not getting scared that you're running out of what you need, then it's only convenient. So my invitation is maybe we can rearrange how we live. I like that Jesus has the bread and the fish, so he gives them and then they give it away. All we have has been given to us by Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So, what if we rearrange how we live our lives? And every time we get our paycheck, and I am aware. See, the beauty of the family of God is that we can all sit here and call each other brothers and sisters, knowing too well that there are some who have no idea what a paycheck is, some who've forgotten what that is, and some who still have it. And we can all be called to one journey of following Jesus even into inconvenient, uncomfortable compassion to our city. So what if as individuals and as a church, we arrange our lives like this, that we will first give, then save, then live on what remains? Sounds smart. I did not come up with it. I wish I did. But what if we make compassion and generosity a priority? We won't just wait for someone to ask. We won't just wait for us to meet someone or something to be put on our screens. But it will be part of our lives that every time we receive from our Father, even that which we have carried as our own lunch, our own five loaves and two fish? Yeah. Our own five loaves and two fish. That's just for us. We still decide that we'll give first, then we'll save, and then we'll live on what remains. So I guess that's where the tire meets the road for us believers. Do we really trust that God is going to multiply what we've put in his hands? Do we really trust that God is going to lift his hands with what we've put in his hands And when we see it back down, it's more than we could have imagined. Do we really trust that partnering with God can multiply anything we step into? Do you trust that just being with someone who's grieving with and you have no idea what to say or do, but because you're there partnering with Jesus, there is a supernatural comfort that comes? Do you trust that being with someone who is lost and looking for God and you have no idea what to say, no idea what to do, but just your life in partnership with the Holy Spirit is shining a light that cannot be dimmed? Do we trust just taking the little finances we have and saying, okay, let's see how far this can go? In partnership with the Holy Spirit, we'll just snowball into something we could not have imagined? Or do we leave it as a good story in the Bible? And our faith, I invite us that our faith should be both communal and individual. Our compassion should be both communal and individual. Because here's the thing. The fish and the bread were given by both the young boy, but they were also given by these disciples. Because they said, hey, I think this boy was with the disciples, right? Because that's... And then they were bullies otherwise. And that's also possible, right? Just because people love Jesus doesn't mean they don't have stuff to work through. But he could have been with the disciples. So he has his meal, and the disciples say, well, this is what we have. So this 5 loaves and 2 fish were given by both this young boy and both by the disciples. It was both individual and communal. So as Trinity, we give food bags every Sunday. We're doing it together. You are doing it. And some of you literally bring bags of food. Some of you buy our sodas. Some of you, and some of you take food bags home. This is what we're about. And that's not all. There's a lot of other things that just happen during the week. You are doing that. You are doing that. We committed 15% of everything that comes in to just go away. You are doing that. We're doing that as a community. This is our expression of our faith and our generosity. And as part of this series we're doing, as I said at the very beginning, next Sunday we want to do a special collection. It's going to be separate from the 15% we're doing. Everything we collect next Sunday is going to be given away. Do we have electricity bills to pay? Yes, yes. But what if from time to time we just decide, no, that's, we trust God. We want to join him in healing our city. And so I am actually inviting you next Sunday, come and give a little bit more. I know you have a budget and you've budgeted what goes to Trinity Vineyard. I appreciate that. And I'm asking you next Sunday, dig a little deeper. And whatever we'll collect, we'll give away. Specifically to 2 places. But that's us responding as a community. I am inviting you to also make this your individual response. That you will wake up each morning asking the Holy Spirit, where can I show your compassion today? That you'll wake up each morning and opening your eyes and asking, where is the weak? Where is the sinner? Where is the poor? Where is the unemployed? Lord, what can I do? That you'll entrust whatever little God has already given you, and it only looks like your 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, to the hands of Jesus and say, you can do it again. You've done it before, you can do it again. I want to invite the band back on stage as we finish, and if our communion service can come up and take the bread and the wine too. See, I think this is the stuff faith is made of. To actually take God's word and say, well, we trust you. We might not understand it, but we trust you. Let me invite you to stand as we will read our community prayer. It's lifted out of Psalm 34. And then I'll explain a bit of response to us. So Holy Spirit, come and breathe your life to us. Okay. There's another slide. Yes. So let's read this together as a prayer for our community and our city. Let's go. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He's your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to him loses out. And Lord, we run to you. And we acknowledge that you're hearing the cry of our entire city. And you're asking us to open our arms as they run to us, so that they may find you. And I pray that in this church, in our lives, you will be lifted up. So here are a few ways I want you to respond. George is with his team back on stage. They lead us in one song. And I invite you to be open to the Holy Spirit. And even if you don't know what that looks like, just be present.